Hello, you guys. Welcome back to another episode of Gym Ramble. I feel like I always start episodes with the same sentence in the same tonality. And every time before I start recording, I'm like, I'm going to switch it up. And then the same sentence with the same tonality just comes out. So I guess that's what we're rolling with. But what is up, you guys? You're listening to this on Monday, if you're listening to this the day it comes out, a week before Christmas. Like, truly, where did the time go? It's just the time of year where I'm grateful to have the access to fast shipping because I got some last minute gifts to buy, but that really snuck up on us. I'm really excited for just the holiday season, of course, but really the new year. I love a good new year, and that's what we're gonna be talking about today. I'm gonna start this episode with a little bit of a life update, I guess, with my cut that I have going on. I'm probably going to do a full recap at some point in a separate episode, but for right now, we're just going to talk a little bit about how the last few weeks have gone, and then I'm going to talk about my fitness goals for 2024, even though they're not super exciting, and we'll get a little bit into why. And then I'm going to talk about my previous New Year's resolutions. Ones that have worked and ones that have not worked. Because if you listen to episode 1 and 2, because it's part 1 and 2, the first two podcast episodes I've ever done, that was my fitness journey. And you will have heard that New Year's 2016 was a really big turning point for me in my fitness journey because I was really fed up with feeling like I was doing everything right and not seeing changes, which was very frustrating. Before I get into this episode, I do want to let you guys know that in the description of this podcast, you are going to see a link. If you click that link, it's going to get you to my Stand store. And then the first kind of prompt there will have you fill out your name and your email. If you go ahead and do that, you will get automatically emailed a video. It's a 22-minute video, and it is all about how to create a lifestyle change for yourself. If you guys have listened to this podcast for a while, you know that this is more mindset based. You know, this is more like, you know, fitness journey, getting into the frame of being able to make sustainable change in your life. We do not go into a lot of the nitty gritty, like reverse dieting, cutting, maintenance, stuff like that. That video that's in my description will go into more of the step-by-step how to change your body composition. We're going to go through the framework of what we take our clients through at the Fit Breakthrough. Of course, it's not every single person follows this formula because everybody's different. That's the beauty of one-on-one coaching, is it's fully customized to you. But I did want to give like a high-level overview of, if you want to change your body composition, if you feel like you're doing everything right and you're not seeing the change that you feel like you should be seeing, I think this video is going to help you out, and I think that now is the perfect time to watch a video like this because you're going to be in the correct mindset and have the correct steps in front of you going into the new year, right? So here is kind of just that little plug to click that link after you're done listening to this, and then it will send you that video. And you can go ahead and watch it and definitely let me know what you think. I spent like all of last week creating it and filming it. So I hope that you guys enjoy it and I hope that you learned something. Definitely DM me and let me know what you thought. But without further ado, let's get into this this episode here. Okay, so my cut update. The last 3 weeks have been pretty, I don't want to say rough, but they've just been chaotic, to say the least. I mean, that's kind of to be expected, I guess. It's the holiday season, but I got back from my trip, which Hawaii was a diet break for me. I got back from my trip, immediately got sick, right? So I was still able, I was really only thankfully sick for a few days. If you listen to a podcast episode like 2 episodes back, you'll be able to hear how sick I was. But it really only was like that for 3 days. So I didn't have to miss a lot of training or cardio sessions or anything like that. But my coach did tell me to raise my food a little bit because we are digging in this cut. And so she was like, look, girl, like you need a bit more food. That is okay. So we did that. I'm back to my lower regular food now, but that was something that happened. And then I had a friend's birthday that I did estimate for in terms of my macros. My weight was a little bit up from that, just from sodium and, of course, estimating and things like that. And then I threw a Christmas party on Thursday, and I told my coach, I was like, hey, I'm hosting this. I'm buying all of the drinks and all of the food and all of the things. I'm going to partake in this, right? Because I'm not spending this much money on food and drink and not eating it, right? So that was something that I truly took upon myself. And I was like, this is just what I'm going to do. I'm going to be, you know, mindful. I did actually make like skinny versions of cocktails and stuff like that. So it wasn't like I was going ham by any means, but I took that as a free meal, so to speak. So with that being said, I'm really excited to kind of regroup, but I do feel like my motivation has been low since the trip. I feel like prior to my trip, which I've been technically in a deficit since September, which is quite a bit of time, I feel like I was much more just motivated. And I think now more than ever, I'm just relying on discipline. Like, it's colder outside. I don't really want to go on walks. I want to lean in towards comfort food and not really the same meals that I've been eating. And so if you're out there and you're actively on a fitness journey, maybe you're even on a cut yourself and you're like, man, I'm just not feeling in it. Just know you're not alone. Okay. And the biggest tip that I have for if you're in a season like this is to get yourself into a position where you're going to eliminate decision fatigue, right? So instead of giving myself the opportunity to decide in the moment, am I going to go to the gym or am I not? Or am I going to do cardio or am I not? Or am I going to eat this or am I not? Right? I am preemptively planning to succeed. I already know which days this week. I'm recording this on Sunday night. I already know which days this week I'm going to the gym. I already know which days I'm doing my cardio. I already know what I'm eating tomorrow. I pretty much eat the same thing every single day at this point, unless I'm like going out to eat or something, which is not happening often at all. But I'm just not making it complicated. And we're going to wrap up. I think we're going to push for 2 more weeks. We're going to see where that lands us. I'm going to have a chat with my coach later on, and I'll keep you guys updated for sure. But yeah, that's a little bit of what's been going on. I think that during this cut, the biggest thing for me has been the decrease in energy. I am hungry, but I'm not that's not impacting my life very much. I know how to make my meals higher volume. I know how to spread out my meals. Like I said, I'm eating pretty similar things every single day. So it's not something that I'm like dwelling on like every single day. Like, oh my gosh, I'm so hungry. But just the energy levels are what is dipping. And it is frustrating to feel like I'm not as strong as I once was before this cut and things like that, right? Like I look in the mirror at the gym and sometimes I feel like I look flatter, right? Because I'm not eating as many carbs. I don't have that pump going. So I know that it's just a season of life, but the grass is always greener on the other side. You know, when I'm in a building phase, I'm like, man, I can't wait to cut. And then I'm cutting and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get stronger. So I'm just living with it. I'm just going through it. I'm still trying to, you know, train with intensity and stuff like that. But the level of intensity that I'm able to bring is just naturally at this point, not as much as it was at the beginning. So it is what it is. We're going to get through it. Leading into my fitness goals for 2024, the biggest one is I am going to stay with my coach throughout the entirety of next year. I already know that. The reason why I have a coach as a coach, in case you're wondering, is for the exact same reason why I tell my clients. Like, we have a lot of clients who join our team who have already tracked macros in the past, who have already trained. And if you're listening to this and you're wanting to join the Fit Breakthrough and you're like, I haven't done those things, like, that's totally fine. We have people who have never tracked macros or anything in their life come on our team too. But even if you know the ins and the outs of like tracking and training and stuff like that, it is just so valuable to have somebody give you a plan and validate that what you're doing is getting you to where you want to go. And that's really what it's been for me. I think that that's the true reason why I enjoy having a coach, is because I'm so focused on what we have going on here at the Fit Breakthrough. I'm so focused on, you know, my relationships and my friendships and things that I have going on the day to day, to focus on, oh, am I, you know, tracking my data? Am I tracking my macros? Should I be eating this? What's the data saying? Like, I would much rather just check in with someone once a week, have them be like, yep, you're good to go. Send somebody form videos, send somebody, you know, here's what I'm doing this week, here's how this week went, and then have them give me a response, give me an update on the plan, and basically validate me and be like, hey, you know, either this is what we need to focus on, this is what we need to do more of, or you're good to go, like, this is the plan. It's just so nice to have an objective view, right? Because if you're anything like me, and you are impatient, and you are your own worst critic, I'll tell you right now, it is so beneficial to have somebody just objectively tell you what to do. But if you're somebody who is listening to this and you're like, okay, well, I have no idea what to do, then of course they're going to be helpful in not only telling you what to do, but educating you, right? Because my coach is still educating me every single day. I mean, I'm learning something new. I'm always going to be a student. I think that's how I become a better coach in this space myself, right? So I didn't mean for this to be a tangent on coaching, but that is my first goal, is, you know, stay with my coach throughout the year, which is why then the rest of my fitness goals are not very, you know, sexy, because it's basically just going to be what she tells me to do and what we agree on, right? In terms of like my goals for the next year, in terms of like what we're going to focus on. We haven't discussed it yet because we're just going to make it through this cut and then kind of game plan. But I definitely want to reverse diet out of this cut like a boss. So I want to maintain a lot of this progress that I've seen on this cut while raising food and getting stronger. And my strength is going to be a really, really main component moving into 2024. I got really excited about growing my quads and the pendulum squat because I hurt my back in 2017. And since then, I have not been under a barbell for squatting since then. But the pendulum squat did not hurt my back. However, I did get a little bit of like a knee issue. Like, I don't know what it was. A little bit of a knee issue right before my cut. And then I knew, because naturally when you're eating less food in a cut, your recovery can suffer. And I just didn't want to risk that. So I took out the pendulum squat. But that's going to be something that I'm really wanting to work back into my routine, is getting stronger there, because I have never felt my quads work as hard as I did during that movement. And I'm just really excited for my strength to come back overall, to see the recomp, you know, just to see how my body fills out after this cut is going to be really exciting. And I also have on here, I want to grow my calves. Yeah, we'll see. I want to grow my calves. Of course, I want my glutes to fill out. Like, I'm just excited to enjoy the next phase of the journey. And I think that it's such a wonderful place to be at. So, yeah, but it definitely wasn't always this way. So like I alluded to at the beginning of this podcast, in 2016, I made a New Year's resolution for my fitness goals. I did this every year, right? I did this in 2013, 14, 15, and now 16. Something was different about this year. And 2016 is the year it actually worked, right? It, quote, worked. I created a lifestyle change. What was different from the years prior versus this year? Like, maybe you're gearing up for 2023 and you're like, yes, this is the year I'm losing the weight. This is the year I'm getting toned. This is the year that I'm getting healthy, right? So how do you know it's going to work? How do you know you're going to keep that promise to yourself and see the result that you are setting out to see? Because we all know the stats. We've all heard that 90% of New Year's resolutions fail. So let's make sure that that's not going to be you, okay? Because that was me all of the years leading up to 2016. In 2013, 14, 15, whatever, whenever I set a New Year's resolution, I thought the goal had to be specific, right? Because you always hear your goal needs to be specific. Your goal needs to be specific. But my issue was I was not focused on setting New Year's resolutions based on action. Why did I like stutter right there? Based on action, I was focusing on New Year's resolutions based on the result. And something about me is I'm going to go balls to the wall for the result because I'm impatient and I'm my own worst critic, like I talked about at the beginning of this or earlier in this. So as you can probably imagine, somebody who is focused on the result, is impatient, and is her own worst critic, is going to fall into the extremes. So I would look up meal plans and be like, oh, 1200 calories is definitely a deficit. So why would I go slower if I could just go really fast? And in my mind, I was like, if I reach this goal weight, which, by the way, I'm 10 pounds heavier than that goal weight now, right? So like, let's laugh about that real quick. But what I would do is I would say, okay, I'm going to get to this goal weight and then I'll figure out how to maintain it after. Like in my mind, it was always like, I'll worry about the lifestyle component and the maintenance component after. But if I can just get there, then I'll be good. But that is never what happened. That is never what happened because I would, you know, eat good, see progress, and then I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop. I was just waiting for the next vacation or the time that my friend would be like, let's be bad today. And then we would just like go out and drink and like eat a bunch of ice cream and crap that would make me feel bad. And then I would see the scale go up from water weight. And then I would feel like it was all body fat because I didn't know, you know, anything about that. And then I would just feel like, well, what's the point? And then I would get back on that diet again until the next time. You know, like it was just this negative cycle. And something that happens when you are so caught up in how you are looking and you're not at the weight you want to be at yet, and you feel like you're being so perfect with your food. Because I did dabble in macro tracking at this point. I had just kept my macros like super, super low. I think I like put in my Fitness Pal that I was super active and I wanted to lose 2 pounds a week or something. And so I was like, great, 1300 calories, like let's go. I think it was actually like 1200 calories was the lowest that my Fitness Pal could tell you to eat before it was like, hey, eat more. And I was like, great, that'll be my target. But when you are constantly going on years of feeling like, should I eat this? Why can my friend eat this and not gain weight? Why do I know that I'm going to gain weight if I eat this? Let's look at what this fitness influencer is eating. Should I eat this? Oh, this person said this is bad. Oh my gosh, why is the scale up? I was so good yesterday. Okay, is it this? Do I need to cut out this food? Let's Google that. Let's do that. Like, oh my gosh. At that point, I had that mental voice in my head for literally years. And it is mentally exhausting, like I said, to feel that feeling every single time you put on something and you don't feel like you look good, or when you're eating something, if you're thinking it's healthy enough, if you're thinking it's good enough. Like at that point, I had just so much mental exhaustion from always thinking those thoughts that when 2016 came, my New Year's resolution wasn't even on the number that I wanted to weigh. It wasn't even on, oh, I need to lose weight as fast as possible, or even in about weight loss specifically in general. My New Year's resolution became about the process. I literally wrote down my New Year's resolution was to have clarity over my goals and how to achieve them and feel good along the way. Because for so long, I had felt so bad about myself and feeling like I was this cycle of constantly letting myself down. And I had truly reached my version of like rock bottom to where I was like, I've exhausted all my resources. I've looked up everything. I've tried everything. Nothing is working for me. So I need to like bring in some help. And for me, that did look like a one-on-one coach. That was somebody who was like, hey, I knew when I hired this person, I was like, I feel a little bit of resistance towards it because I don't want this to be something that I'm more worried about. But I knew that it was taking up so much mental space in my head now of like second guessing every single movement that I was doing, every single thing that I was eating. Am I doing enough? Should I be doing more? That I knew that this would actually do the opposite of what I was worried about. It was actually going to take away the stress that I was constantly putting myself under. And even though I knew I wasn't going to reach my result the next day, I had that mental clarity and peace knowing that I was on the path Was it going to take a month, 3 months, 6 months, a year? I didn't know. But I suddenly felt this relief of like, I don't need to know everything right now. I'm going to be taught it. I don't need to have this mental turmoil going on in my head all of the time. And then suddenly, what I became focused on was not the end goal, like I talked about. It was about the actions. So that's what I'm going to be talking to you about today, is how do you go into this big, lofty goal that you have for the year and actually make resolutions and non-negotiables for yourself so that you know your daily actions are aligned with your mission, with your end goal, okay? So I'm going to give you an example. Let's say you're going into 2024 and you say, my goal is to get toned and lean. Great, okay? Getting toned means building muscle. Getting lean means eating in a deficit. I'm going to give a very high-level overview example of what this can look like, but again, the link is in the description. That goes into more depth, step by step, like that sort of thing. But this is going to be high level, how to take a big goal and turn it into actionable takeaways that you can implement in your life. Okay, so back to the example. Let's say your goal is to get toned and lean. So what I want you to ask yourself is, okay, here is my goal. What action do I need to take in order to make sure that this goal is in the process of being achieved? Okay, so maybe your action for eating at a deficit is tracking my food. And then if you want to go a step further, eating 2 to 3 vegetables a day and eating protein at every meal. Great. Okay, let's make an action for the gym component. Let's say your action item is going to the gym 3 to 4 times a week and tracking my lifts to make sure that I'm progressing. Awesome. Now we have actions. Okay, now the last step is for each of those actions, have a non-negotiable attached to it. I want you to ask yourself, how are you going to make sure that action gets done? This is where we look in the nitty-gritty of your schedule. When we look at, okay, what does our time allow? What does my work schedule look like? What other obligations do I have, right? Because if you're telling yourself, oh yeah, I'm gonna go to the gym 3 to 4 times a week, okay, but you don't plan for that. Like, girly, it's not getting done, right? So a non-negotiable is something that you are drawing a line in the sand. You're creating a boundary with yourself that this is going to get done. This is going to get done. This is where we talk about building a relationship with yourself, keeping a promise to yourself. This is what we are talking about, okay? Non-negotiables are very specific. They are not, oh, I'm going to eat healthy. Okay, that is, what does that mean? What does healthy mean? That's not a line in the sand. Okay, I'll give you an example. So again, one of your action items was, I'm gonna track my food. So the non-negotiable associated with that is, every night before I go to bed, I will spend 10 to 15 minutes pre-tracking my entire day of food for the next day. Boom, that's your non-negotiable. You know what you have to do, you know when you need to do it, you know when it's done, you can check it off. Okay. Same thing for a non-negotiable, maybe with the grocery store. Maybe you say, I will never go to the grocery store without a list. Because time and time again, maybe you just go to the grocery store, you walk the perimeter, you get random things, and then you're like, oh man, I don't have any protein sources, right? No, never again. We are never going to the grocery store without a list. These are examples. You don't have to set these as your non-negotiables, but that is the thought process of how you take a big goal, you have action items beneath it, and then you have non-negotiables associated with that action. Okay, let's do another one for the gym. So non-negotiables. I'm going to plan what I'm doing at the gym before I go, right? Maybe you write it out before you go. And that's also going to give you a space to track your lifts, right? Because that's one of your action items, is to track your lifts. So non-negotiable, there you go. And then another one could be, I'm going to time block my days every Sunday for the week when I'm going to the gym, right? So you're actively thinking about your schedule. You're not just saying, I'm going to go to the gym when I feel like it, because you're never going to feel like it, girl. Hardly ever, especially if this is a new action item for you. So you need to think, okay, I'm going to go to the gym Tuesday after work. Well, then you can ask yourself, what does that actually look like? Am I going to come home first and then go to the gym? Probably not. I'm probably much better off going to the gym straight from work. So I eliminate that decision of leaving my house again once I get home, right? Because it's cold these days, right? So then you're tying that to, okay, I'm going to bring my gym clothes and my pre-workout meal to work with me, right? If we did not have that non-negotiable in place of time blocking into your day, you would not have thought about that entire sequence of events and gotten to the solution of, wow, in order to make this action item a reality, I need to bring my clothes and my pre-workout meal to the gym so I can go to the gym directly after work, right? Now, suddenly that big goal of building muscle, you have now walked it all the way down to, in order to reach my big goal for the year, I need to bring my clothes and pre-workout meal to work with me. And that's just an example again, but you see how suddenly it becomes a lot less daunting. Because if you're just like, well, I'm going to lose weight this year. Okay. Like, what about when you have a dinner out? What about when you're going on vacation? What about, you know, when you can't be in a deficit forever? What about if you're eating 1300 calories a day and not losing weight, right? Like, that's where we need to start asking more questions about, like, that's great, but how are we going to get there? Because a goal without a plan is just a wish, you guys. I do not want you going into 2024 with wishes. I want you going into 2024 with plans. And if you're sitting here and you're like, girly, I'm already tracking my food. I'm already weight training. I'm already like doing these things that you gave the examples for. I'm not seeing progress. You need to be more diligent with how you are tracking your progress, right? You can't keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. And if you don't know what actions to take in terms of like how to change your food, when to change your macros, what phase of the journey you're in, if you're doing enough, then do what I did back in 2016 and have somebody eliminate those decision-making process for you and teaching you along the way. But I think if you're not in a position to, you know, hire a coach, getting very clear on the cause and effect of what you are doing and how your body is responding is going to be very crucial, okay? Because then you're going to be like, okay, what do I need to do to course correct to make sure that this is the progress that I'm seeing? And it's going to be pretty uncomfortable. You might need to go through a reverse diet. You might need to get to a place where you're more consistent than you think you're being, right? You're going to uncover some hard truths when you get into the data, but you need to have data on yourself in order to see the cause and effect of what you're doing and how your body is responding. So again, maybe you can go through the series of setting your resolutions based on what that goal is, setting action items for one or more of those goals, you know, whatever it is, and then setting a non-negotiable for that action, right? So you wake up every single day and you know what boxes you need to check, okay? Something else, the last thing that I want to talk about with this is motivation to actually do what you say you're going to do. We know that motivation is going to ebb and flow, but a large part of motivation comes with the buy-in and I don't want to say the certainty, but kind of the certainty that what you are doing is getting you to where you want to be, right? You have to believe that what you are doing is getting you in the right direction. And I feel like for me, for so many years prior to actually figuring this out and going through, you know, my first reverse diet and really living this lifestyle, was I would fall off and not do what I said I was going to do because I didn't even know if that was the right thing to do, if that makes sense, right? Like, I didn't have this big picture of like, no, I have to hit these macro targets because this is where I'm going, and then I'm going to be able to start a cut, and then this is what's going to happen, right? Like, there was nobody telling me like, yeah, this is right for you, right? Because you go on the internet and everybody says something different is working for them and you're like, okay, like, what do I do? So that's my other tip for you. If you're somebody who struggles with motivation, figure out what action items you feel so certain and so good about. I guess we can never be certain, right? There's going to be some trial and error. So maybe certain is not the best word, but I'm trying to think of the word that I'm thinking of. But you just have so much. What is the word, you guys? Hold on. Let me think about this. Oh my gosh, the word was literally confidence. Why couldn't I think of that? I literally looked up on my phone belief synonyms. You have to have so much confidence and conviction that what you are doing is getting you to where you want to be, right? And there's gonna be a little bit of like faith, I think, right? Like, and trust. Because if you are going through a reverse diet for the first time, and even if your coach is explaining to you, like, hey, here's what you need to do, here's why you need to do it, here's this the education behind it, you know, the science, whatever, there's still gonna be a little bit of like, oh my gosh, like, is this just gonna be a big waste of time? Or if you're in a cut and your coach is like, hey, we're gonna go through a cut now, and you're like, am I capable of like doing this? Like, or maybe you're just trying to be consistent for the first time and based on your past, you haven't really been consistent with anything in the past. So you're like, man, do I have what it takes to be this consistent? Start with the small habits that you can work to build and you can work to be consistent on. And then introduce bigger action items and bigger non-negotiables for the things that you are maybe a little bit like, oh, I don't know if I have what it takes to do this. Like, start with where you're at because you will continue to build your confidence in your ability to show up for yourself, and motivation is going to come with that as you move through, right? I don't need motivation to go to the gym. Like, I know at this point, I'm not going to go 3 weeks without going to the gym just simply because I don't feel like it. I have discipline in that area, right? But I'll tell you what, sometimes I don't feel super motivated to hit my macros because on this cut, I am cutting pretty low. I don't have a lot of food. So I know that in order to muster up that motivation, I need to, number one, remember where I'm at, remember where I'm going, because I have a coach and we have a game plan. So I like think about that game plan. I think about how my decisions today are going to affect my progress tomorrow and ultimately affect my progress with where we're going in the future. Okay. And then number two, I create an environment for myself where I have a less chance of failing. So I pre-plan. I think back to my non-negotiables. I pre-plan my meals. I make sure that I have food in the house that allows me to hit my macros. I do all of these things, right? Motivation is going to waver whether or not you have a plan and protocols or not. But I'll tell you what, you will have much more motivation if you have confidence that what you are doing is getting you to where you want to be. And if you do not have that confidence, you need to seek it out. You do not have to do this alone. Okay, and I just want you to succeed in 2024. So, whatever you decide to do, I hope that this resonated with you. I hope that you sit down, you write out your big goals, you narrow it down to action items, and then you narrow it down further to set non-negotiables for each one of your action items. And lastly, I also hope that the link below and the 22-minute video that I created helps you out a lot. Let me know if it did, and I will talk to you guys in the next episode, which will be on Christmas Day, I just realized. So I'll have to record that earlier, and then it'll be on Christmas Day. So yeah, when you wake up on Christmas Day and you're like, oh my gosh, I want to go for a walk outside on Christmas and just absorb this holiday cheer, you'll have a podcast to listen to. And if you don't celebrate Christmas, you will have a podcast to listen to on your wonderful Monday morning, okay? So it's just gonna be a win-win situation for everyone. But I hope you guys have a wonderful day, a wonderful week, and I'll catch you in the next one.